Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. Tony Colombo in here with me right now to talk a little bit about things to give you a little more Main Street cred. And Tony and I prepare endlessly for this podcast, but we could also just do this on a whim. I said to Tony, you got stuff? He's like, I always got stuff. So what do you got?
So for those of you who may be listening for the first time, I'm not going to do this every time, but I probably will give the brief explanation of... One of the things that I'm going to talk about every week on this show is some of the secrets around Disney World, some of the more hidden stories or little activities that you can do that kind of add to your vacation and kind of enhance maybe when you're standing in line, when you're one of the queues, maybe you learn something.
The majority of them. I don't know if all of them are free. It's just part of the depth and history of what Disney World is, which is what makes people like myself, who are I'm fairly new to it. I've only been obsessed with Disney for like 2 years, kind of the same for you.
Yeah.
That there is just an infinite amount of stuff, of details, of information, of purpose behind what Walt Disney does. And it once you start to realize that, I kind of just crave more and more info.
Right. And so you can use this as bonus knowledge when you're on your trip.
You can show off to your friends.
Or just appreciate things or point things out that other people would never notice and, you know, and just kind of enhance like, oh, here's a secret in this queue, or here's something that's, here's the reason why the street looks like this, or here's the reason why those names are on those windows. And, you know, and... So it's just extra knowledge just to kind of enhance your experience at Disney. And then there's also some cool things that you may not know about that you can do with your family that don't require standing in line and don't require spending extra money and can kind of add to your vacation. For example, the telephone that I talked about in last week's show, how my daughter and I basically went on a scavenger hunt and to find this telephone, and nobody else was doing it. Nobody else even knew it was there. I don't even think the lady who was working in the shop knew it was there. And she was able, and you know, we were able to make that part of our vacation, and it was absolutely free.
Yeah.
So this week I wanted to start with one kind of in that same vein as looking for the telephone, and that is something that I have tried to catch. And I'm going to try again to catch this year, but I haven't been able to do it yet. And you're familiar with the Sword in the Stone, right?
Yep.
Have you seen it?
Right in front of the carousel.
Have you seen it? Have you seen them doing it?
Yes.
I've never seen them doing it.
You have to be there
at the right time. And they don't advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you when the time is going to be, which to me is the cool part about it.
Yeah.
Because you have to
catch it.
Yeah, you have to catch it. You have to be in the right place at the right time. So when you are in the Magic Kingdom and you see the Prince Charming carousel, which is kind of right in the middle there. It's right by the Pinocchio restaurant.
The first time in 2018 when we went, the carousel was under construction. It was completely wrapped in whatever they were encasing and boarded up because they were, I guess, rehabilitating it or whatever. And then when we went back this past summer and they had it made that whole space seem so much bigger. So it was almost like going to see that space. I did not see the Sword in the Stone thing the first time because of the way everything was boarded up, and it was a very different way to travel around there when there was this big thing in the center of that area that you couldn't see through or see people walking around. So yeah.
Do they wheel it out or does it come out of the ground?
It's just there. You can take pictures with it.
But what did you see them doing it?
Yep.
The kids pulling it on it and trying to get it out.
Yes.
See, that's how we always miss it.
Some people, like some show people come out and they're all dressed in lovely fair and they put on the show and they always try to, you know, Tony, I bet you're not strong enough.
So I bet I'm not either.
To pull the sword out
I bet
of
I'm not either.
I bet you're not. But I think James could maybe give it a try.
A lot of character meet and greets and things like that, activities are in the app and very scheduled and you know exactly when they're happening. But there are things like the Sword and the Stone out front of the Prince Charming Carousel that just happen. And they don't tell you when. And so you don't know to be there at a certain time. It also makes sure there's not a line when it happens. And a cast member will come out and the sword will be there. And you will, people will, they'll offer people, can you pull the sword out of the stone? Only those who are worthy, pure of heart, will be able to do it. And of course, they'll have a bunch of adults and parents go up and try, and the sword doesn't budge. And then some youngster,
when somebody is actually worthy,
will do it, and they'll pull the sword out. And when I see the videos,
I
think it's so cool. But we have never been in the right place at the right time. So it's just one of those things to keep your eyes open as you're passing through that part of the park. If it looks like maybe there's something going on by the sword, or there's some characters walking around that you don't really recognize and you don't understand, like, what are they doing? Stop. And see if you can make that happen, and if you can be a part of it. And if you can, you will be a part of something that many people, A, haven't been a part of, or B, have even seen. Yeah. So it's just one of those cool things that just happens. There's another one. This one's not necessarily up my alley for me personally, but I imagine that if we run into it with my kids, it's the same kind of thing. It's the big jamboree that happens out in front of the Country Bear Jamboree.
I've seen
where
that.
They have the Country Bears come out, and then they have Brer Rabbit, all the people from Splash Mountain come out, and they do a big character dance along that, again, is not scheduled. It's not on any, it's not in the app. It's not something that you can plan on doing. You just have to be in the right place at the right time to catch it, and then you'll have a chance to get a bunch of pictures with a bunch of characters that you normally wouldn't all be together, or give you an opportunity to be around all those characters at the same time. And you get to do something that you didn't plan on doing. It didn't cost you anything. You didn't have to stand in line.
Sometimes those types of things spur up when maybe the park is pretty crowded and people are standing in lines, or maybe what you went there to do, you've done the fast passes, but everything else is quite a commitment. I know that for specifically on New Year's Eve, they had like a huge dance party out in that same area because they'll constantly be looking for ways to entertain you while you're in the park. All these extra types of things. Like they used to have the Muppet Show that was in Liberty Square and they would kind of tell the story of the birth of our country in the United States. And they took that away, but those days after Christmas leading up to New Year's when it was just max capacity, literally max capacity on a couple of days, shutting the park to any more additional guests early, they start adding these things back into the park so that there is more to do for the people who maybe don't want to wait in the 250-minute mine train line.
Right.
So it's one of those things that you can stumble upon, but I have seen them out there doing like line dancing or the electric slide or, you know, just fun stuff like that. It's just a little extra thing that you can catch and spend maybe 15 minutes hanging out with some of those rarer seen characters in the park.
Yep. And I will continue to remind people of this, and I will continue to let you know about, and I'm not done. I've got a couple more for this episode, but, you know, we'll do this every week. But I would just encourage you, as you are in Disney World, at any of the parks, especially when you're standing in line or you have some downtime in a restaurant, even if it's a quick service place, like, look around, because it's so cool when you just find something, when you just discover that something is there.
It could be a print in
that
the
nobody
sidewalk
else knows about. Yeah. And in a lot of things you can actually interact with, like the phone that I talked about last week. And there's, in different restaurants, there's wish books, or there's hidden rooms, or there's, you know, different parts of various stories that are that, you know, have a background in whatever area or restaurant or ride you're in that you can actually interact with that they don't advertise, that they don't talk about. And when you find, when you just like stumble on something like that, you feel like it's the, you feel like it's the coolest thing ever. And especially if you have a little kid with you and they feel like they just found, you know, they found a secret. They found a secret, you know, they discovered something in Disney World.
It really
that they
adds
get to be
the
a
memories.
Part of.
It adds to the intimacy of what Walt Disney World has to offer. And again, when you have the opportunity to make the most, when you're traveling from one side of the park to the other, because your fast passes are, you know, maybe 30 minutes apart from one another, you've got a little bit of a window in there. If you want to do something in between and you don't want to necessarily stand in line for another ride or whatever, all of these things are really fun little treasure hunts that you can do, and they are everywhere. It's so compelling to me how much they focused when they built this park and have continued to add to it, like the purpose behind everything, because I think that's one of the Disney distinctions.
Yeah,
the attention to detail beyond anything that you would ever expect.
And the one thing that they're getting better at, it's never going to be fun to stand in line, but especially the newer attractions as they build them, they're making the lines,
the queues,
more interactive and give you more things to do while you're waiting in line to feel like you're not just totally wasting an hour to 90 minutes standing in line, that there's actually activities that you can participate in.
Did you use the Disney Play app at all on your phones while you were there?
Yeah.
Did your kids like it?
We did it mostly in the Toy Story area.
Mm-hmm.
We did it.
We never have.
Yeah.
But it's in addition to the cues that they have, you know, the interactive things that you can play with or experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can also download an additional app to My Disney Experience on your phone. And based on the location of where you are in the park, they'll have extra games you can play.
Yeah,
we were
playing one in the Toy Story area where we were like, there was like three different teams. You could be on like the blue team, the yellow team, or the green team, or something like that. I can't remember exactly how it worked, but yeah.
But it's just an extra thing.
It gives you something to do. The Soarin' line, you know, is like a constant trivia battle with all the other people in line. I think you can actually even do it, like, I could just do it now, I think. You know, and it's a running total, so you can see how good you're doing against other people. And it sounds silly, but you play a few rounds of trivia, and all of a sudden, 15 or 20 minutes went by in the blink of an eye, and
now you're about to get on the ride.
And now you're a lot closer, to being on the ride than just sitting there for 20 minutes. So, and these interactive cues, there can also be secrets within them. And so that's another one that I wanted to talk about, specifically the Haunted Mansion, one of the biggest, most famous rides.
Did you guys do the Haunted Mansion with...
Oh, yeah.
Did you take James on it?
I think we did.
We took all... I mean, we took my three-year-old on it.
I think James went on it. I know he did. Yeah, he did. He did.
I'm riding it going, this is kind of freaky.
Yeah.
Like, these are ideas that my kids have not had yet.
I can't remember if she was 7 or 8. She had a harder time than James did when he was 2.
Well, I think they're older, they can pair more real-life experience.
Correct.
There's a context.
Yes.
The older you get, where I think there's a sweet spot of it being...
You don't quite understand.
You know what is real in life, and you hadn't considered what you're looking at, and then you're pairing the two, and it's a little like, whoa. But I remember going... What we do in the Haunted Mansion, because we had last year, it was my 9, 7, and 3-year-old. They all rode. Because I was really big on trying to, every ride you can ride everyone together.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount of time that you save. You don't have to do the rider swap, and it's more fun that way. And it was just constantly, oh, look at that. That is so silly. Why would they do that? That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And like,
these silly, happy ghosts.
Yeah. Over exaggerating it. And the whole time I'm like peeking out of the corner of my eye, like, are you buying this?
Right.
Am I selling this well enough to you that you are like, oh yeah. And so my 7-year-old now, she's like, Haunted Mansion is my favorite ride ever. And I'm like, they sold it a little too hard to her. And my oldest was like, that creeped me out. And my 3-year-old, she was she didn't, I don't think she loved it, but right. I don't think she's like, I'm never doing that again.
The Haunted Mansion, so. You could spend like an hour in the Haunted Mansion gift shop at the end of the ride learning about, like, every ghost in the mansion has a backstory mm-hmm. and a name.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn about each one of them and buy, you know, there was like, there's like a closet inside the gift shop that has it's a little closet with a person working in the closet and like has the souls in these little boxes, and each one of them is a ghost that's in the mansion, but you can learn about them. You can take the box home. You can learn their backstory. Like,
it's wild.
And that's just one freaking ride. Like, that's just one ride, and it's got all of this story jam-packed into it. And so one of the really cool things is the story of the bride in the mansion is that she in a fit of rage, threw her wedding ring out the window. And when you're in the queue for the Haunted Mansion, as you're going through it, keep your eyes on the ground, and you will come across at one point the ring embedded in the concrete
out the window
in the queue of the Haunted Mansion. And there's not a sign that says here's the ring or here's the story. You don't even know that story. They don't even tell that story. You just kind of have to know it and yep. hear it, like on this podcast. And then, so, you know, and then when you see it and you point it out, it's, again, it's like a discovery. It's like finding something. It's like being on an adventure and finding something that not everybody else knows about. And you yep. can nudge your kid like I did. I was like, there's the ring. And my daughter
you take
like,
a picture with
my
it.
My daughter like, oh, yeah. the ring. It's real. It's right there. It's embedded in the concrete. And that cue and many others, keep an eye on everything. Watch the headstones. Some of them are just silly, funny things written on them, but some of them do things.
Mm-hmm.
Some
you
of them
see Madame Leota.
Yeah, some of them are watching you back.
Yeah,
and again, they don't call any attention to any of that or explain what's happening. You just have to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of stuff is to me some of the coolest stuff that you can do while you're Disney.
So you have a teenager. You have nine?
Yeah, she's nine
she's
right
nine.
Now. Yeah.
When she turned 10?
In August, at the beginning of September.
She gets to be a real grown up then.
Yeah.
And a 3-year-old. Is there anything that you have done with your family at Disney that you tried and realized for any of the specific ages where you were like, maybe that decision for that particular child
yeah.
was.
And that's exactly what it is. That decision for that particular child. Because I wouldn't, like I just said, I can't remember how old she was when we first took her on. And I think she was 7. The 7-year-old had a much harder time with Haunted Mansion than the 2-year-old did.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you that as the parent going in,
that
I would have made that prediction.
Because you knew your kid.
Because I know my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that Maggie has some anxiety issues.
Isn't that so important, though, people? I'll see a lot of people discussing, like, thinking about taking my 3-year-old on
yeah.
Slinky
so
Dog, thinking
right.
about taking my 3-year-old on Haunted Mansion or any of these things. Chances are you can see 100 people say my 3-year-old was just fine, but if you are
right.
pretty sure that your 3-year-old is not going to like Tower of Terror,
then you're probably right.
You're probably right. And if you want to risk it, they're going to be fine at the end, unless they are going to go into a full-on panic attack, which you would be the one to know that. But it is very specific. Same thing with adults. Like, if you're not somebody who's real good with roller coasters, or if
yeah.
you don't love the super challenging roller coasters, I would say give Thunder Mountain a try. Maybe stay away from Rock and Roller Coaster because it's in the dark. It does corkscrews. It goes
Mm-mm.
upside down and it goes really fast.
Mm-mm.
But if you love roller coasters,
nope.
do the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Right.
But it is very specific. I
hate roller coasters.
You're so missing out. Slinky Dog. We did Slinky Dog.
Slinky Dog is...
Did you do that one?
It is. I did.
Did you handle it okay?
I fell for it. I thought it was kind of a kiddie coaster.
Would you do
it's
it again?
Not. Yeah, probably.
Did you make it?
It was more intense than I thought it was going to be.
It is. You know why? I think it's got more intensity than you anticipate. I think it has a lot to do with the fact...
Because it's Slinky Dog and it looks like a baby toy.
Well, I mean, again, it's all specific to the individual and what intimidates you.
Know your parents.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly.
Know yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Analyze your own dad and decide, can he handle this? I think it's like when you do Mine Train, when you do Thunder Mountain, those are roller coasters that are perceived to be on the ground. You are riding fast and making sharp turns in the ground. Slinky Dog is up there. And
you go up high.
You are you're riding this and you're looking down.
Yeah.
Just the looking down can be intimidating. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're on Mine Train, like if you're taking your kid to Disney World and you've never done roller coasters before, and you're like, I have no idea if they're going to, and you go to Magic Kingdom first, I actually think that Thunder Mountain is less intimidating than Mine Train. Did you do both of those?
Yes. I thought Mine Train was a lot easier. Yeah. I thought Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was a lot easier than Thunder Mountain.
I think it's the other way around.
Yeah. We talked about this before.
But it is, you know, it's your own perception. You're going to have your own experience.
Right.
Like, I remember when we got done with Thunder Mountain, my then 9-year-old looked at me like we made the sharp turn. He was waiting for a big drop or something to, like, get you. And we made the turn, and he saw that we were going back into the shed thing.
It's the rootin' tootin'est ride all the west.
And he looks at us like, you're freaking kidding me. Where's the big payoff here? So, but that was after he had done, I think at that point he might have done Expedition Everest. He had done basically everything but Rockin' so far. So
let me ask you this, mm-hmm. just a parent question, because mm-hmm. kind of the conversation we're having. Here's one that I struggle with. I know that my daughter, who has some anxiety issues, I also know what she really likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that what she really enjoys. And so she may look at something and see it through her eyes, just like that exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at something like Thunder Mountain and say, nope, that's not for me. I can see it from here, how fast it's going. And I know that I've ridden it, and I know what she's capable of, and I know what she loves, and I know that if I could just get her on
she's just got to experience it.
And as soon as we're done, she's going to want to do it again.
Yeah.
Because she's going to love it. But I don't want to force her to do something.
I know how to solve this problem.
I don't want to drag her kicking and screaming. So how do you handle that?
You bribe them. you have no shame, and you say, especially when it comes to roller coasters, if you're going to get them on that first roller coaster, you say, what's the one treat in this park that you want? And then at the end of the ride, which they're going to survive, it's like three.
And love. And I know that I wouldn't ever even pressure them to ride it if I didn't know for a fact that you are going to love this. I know you, and I know your style, and I know what you like.
Yes.
And you are going to freaking love this.
You bribe them. You bribe them. You bribe them. You say, what do you want? You do this, and I'll get it for you. I stick to treats because they're usually under $10, which is about the only thing you can get in Disney that's under $10.
No, my daughter would say, like, the $100 castle.
So you say... You say, you want a Dole Whip, we'll get you a Dole Whip. You want cotton candy, we'll get you cotton candy. You want a big chocolate chip cookie with ice cream in it, we'll get you that. But you got to ride this first. And as the second we get done with this, we're going to get you your treat. And you know that she's going to go, that was pretty awesome. And when they say that, and they're like, do I still get my treat? You go, of course you do. And then you go get your treat, and then you've exposed them to taking a risk. And then that builds on itself. Mm-hmm. That is what we do in my family, and it has worked greatly. And I don't bribe my kids in, like, real life, but Disney World's not real life. So it's fantasy, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, if you're going to get them a treat or something sometime anyway, you want a Mickey bar, we get you a Mickey bar. Get on Thunder Mountain, kid.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with that.
It's a tough thing because I don't want to put her in a situation.
They're
going to
have anxiety. They're going to they're going to get nervous.
But it's like, I know you're going to love this kid. I know you are going to love this.
And your job is a parent.
And I want you to enjoy it.
Yes.
Because I know how much you are going
to
love this.
Your job as a parent is to know them and respect the kid that they are, which each of your children are going to be different. They're going to be different at different ages. Your job is to know them, and you know your kids, and then your job is also to teach them to go a little bit out of their comfort zone.
Right.
And if it's a Mickey bar that teaches them to try something that's scary, but know that at the end of giving it a try, even if they hate it.
Yeah.
And maybe surprise
you. And trust
you.
Me. Like,
yes.
I'm not going to put you in a position that you're going to be in a...
And my promise to my kids is, we're going to do this. I look up the time on the thing. I mean, these rides are usually like maybe 2 minutes long. Maybe.
Right, sure.
2 minutes of your life. You're going to have to 60 twice. And at the end of that, we're going to go get you your ice cream cookie.
And you're going to want to do this again.
And I promise you're going to want to do it again. But if you don't ever want to do it again, I promise to not ever make you do this again. It's going to be your decision. You want that cookie.
And
get on the ride.
My record is literally undefeated.
Yeah.
I've never said it and been wrong.
I've said to my kids, too, like, do you trust me? You're going to be okay. You might be scared in it, but and I'll also tell them that your sense of fear or like a little bit of anxiety that you have is kind of a good thing. And some of the fear is what actually makes it more fun when you get done and you survived the Mickey's, or not Mickey's, the mine train, or maybe Mickey's Runaway Railway, which I'm going to talk to you about here in a minute.
Yeah.
But you,
which I want to talk about.
You get to the point where, honestly, and I'm glad you brought this up, because when we went to Disney World in 2018, which was the first time, honestly, that we had ever taken like our own family vacation, and my kid was 8 at the time. So I had 3 children. We didn't take vacations. We never could have afforded to take the vacations before. And one of the things that made me fall in love with Disney was the amount of growing up that my son did in a matter of like 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
Trying things, being really scared, and deciding to be brave in the midst of being scared, and trying the Barnstormer and going, I want to ride it again. And like, he would have stayed on the Barnstormer the entire time that we were there. And that challenge was something that I don't know how he would have gotten that in, you know, quote unquote, real life elsewhere. But he got it at Disney. And I think that that was something that was like a gift, I think, that we had because of our trip there. And that's why I want to keep going back. And I want to keep challenging them to do newer and cooler things. You want to get to some news?
Yeah, I do. And especially that Mickey roller coaster thing, because I was just having a conversation earlier this week about how I blew some minds when I said that Mickey has never had a ride at Disney World. He's finally getting his first feature.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway invites guests into a cartoon adventure at Walt Disney World. This is from WDW Info by Jackie Gailey. So I want to make sure we give the credit to Jackie there for this article. This is opened now. By the time you've downloaded this, this will have been open. It will have been dedicated. And as you said, this is the OG Mickey ride.
It's unbelievable.
In 2020.
That's incredible.
So it's
there's theaters and stuff that are, you know, that Mickey's prominently featured in, but he's never had a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey and Minnie have never had a ride that they are the stars of.
According to WDW Info, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway invites families to begin their adventure together at the heart of Disney's Hollywood Studio. So this is now located in the Chinese Theater there in Hollywood Studio. It used to be the housing of the Great Movie Ride, mm-hmm. which I think I rode when I was there in like 91 or something, but I don't know. I have no, like a lot of people were very emotionally attached to it because, you know, some things never change. That's the way some people like it, but the reviews that I'm seeing from people say that it's adorable, it's cute. From what I understand, there are multiple experiences you can have on the ride. So if you ride it, it's not as if every time you ride it's going to be exactly the same.
I like that.
In the story, Mickey and Minnie set off on a journey to find the best spot for a romantic picnic, taking their little red convertible for a drive through Runamuck Park.
Nice.
And it's like old-timey cartoony. You know, like it's not.
I love that.
I like the way the cartoons are done in this ride specifically, because they don't really, to me, reference any particular time of the Mickey and Minnie animation.
Mm.
It looks like new retro. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it says, little did they know, Pluto has accidentally stowed away in the trunk of their car.
Oh,
so when the roadster hits a bump and the dutiful dog flies out, mayhem ensues.
Mm. And I bet you it is mayhem everywhere.
So yeah, so this is
this sounds like my kind of ride.
Let's see, it says,
is it for like 5-year-olds
at this point? No, no, everybody.
Maybe it's too big for me then.
Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll be back before you'll be back. I'll be able to see if it's Tony approved, which means that somewhere around the age of 10 you can get on this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Disney brings guests through the movie screen and into the cartoon world, where they join Engineer Goofy. Oh, that's not going to go wrong at all. On a train ride in the Runamuck Railroad.
Why would you put him in charge of anything like that? That doesn't make any sense.
Because then you have a story. Pluto flies out of the trunk. Mickey and Minnie are just trying to have a romantic getaway, and Goofy's driving the train.
I bet Donald loses his temper.
Following Mickey and Minnie through the park on their quest for that perfect picnic, and with Goofy at the helm, what could possibly go wrong? a lot, actually. It says, there's a stampede through the Wild West. You visit a carnival. You avoid a swirling twister. Can you handle that?
I bet at the end, it all comes together.
You escape an exploding volcano, or do you?
Uh-oh.
And you dive over a waterfall. And it says it much more. And it's a trackless ride, too, which is a kind of new, cool technology. I've done Rise of the Resistance, and the one of the really cool things about the trackless ride of being on Rise of the Resistance is there's no surefire way of knowing where you're headed next.
Yeah.
So, like, when you're on a track, obviously, you go where the track goes. When you are, when there is an open floor and you are sitting in this thing and it is moving places, you don't, if you haven't seen it or experienced before, you really don't know where to look.
That's cool.
And everywhere you look.
And like you said, it could be a little different every time.
Yeah. Super, super cool. Disney shares sneak peek of Cirque du Soleil's Drawn to Life, which is coming to Walt Disney World soon at Disney Springs, I believe. This is going to be a cool, I mean, Cirque du Soleil, you can't really go wrong with that. An addition to Disney Springs, they have announced that as well. And I think that will be something very cool to check out when it happens. Let's see here. I think it's coming to Disney Springs. This summer, I believe. So, Drawn to Life is the story of love shared between a father and daughter. Julie, the main character, is a courageous and determined young girl. Her father, Tom, was a Disney animator who raised his daughter and surrounded her with Disney animated characters to help her grow and play important roles in her life.
Disney and Cirque du Soleil are not going to disappoint.
That'll be an intense experience for people to experience. And it's at Disney Springs, which is cool because it doesn't cost anything to get into Disney Springs. So it's something that you can, which is downtown Disney for people who haven't been there in a while. So that has changed. And then the biggest news, Bob Iger, Disney CEO, stepping down and staying on the board, but the new Disney CEO, Bob Chapek, is now at the helm.
It's going to be interesting to see what impact, if any, that has. Was Bob Iger's personality part of, you know, was that shining through at Disney, or is it just going to be, you know, or is it going to be a seamless transition?
So I'm reading Bob Iger's book right now, The Ride of a Lifetime, and by reading, I mean listening to the audiobook, and it's pretty compelling. This Bob Chapek is the seventh Disney CEO. Isn't it kind of crazy that there's only been seven?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Like, what kind of history you get with a place to have that few people involved in the process. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out for Disney, and knowing that Bob Iger is going to stick around, I think through like mid next year, maybe. So he's going to be around for a while, transitional period and such. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening to this episode of Main Street Cred the Pixie Dust podcast. We will be back again next week with another episode. A reminder, our favorite, Erica Murphy, the go-to travel agent when it comes to planning your Disney World
trip. Don't go to Disney without Erica's help.
Yes. As she says, if you don't use her, use a travel agent, but I'm telling you to use her. You can email her at erica@magicexpeditions.com. That's E-R-I-K-A. You can also find her on Facebook now. We're trying to build her Facebook for her because she just launched it last week. It's Erica Murphy. Magic Expeditions, I think, is what you type in on Facebook, and you can check that out there. And if you want to add any sort of Main Street cred to the show and you want to email us, you can email us at Annie Fry Show. That's F-R-E-Y, Annie Fry Show at gmail.com. And we will be able to field those questions there or use your material in the show. And we will be back next week with even more Main Street cred. Thanks for listening.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.